Welcome to Landscape Smart, presented by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Call now with all of your landscaping, lawn, and garden questions at 923-1450, toll-free 1-888-900-1450, or airtime free on your U.S. cellular phone at #1450.
And we welcome you to this week's edition of Landscape Smart. Joining us this morning, the one, the only, I'm not sure if it's the Easter Bunny or if it's Ron Radiman dressed as the Easter Bunny, but good morning.
I hopped in here, made it on time today.
Yeah, you did. We're pleased. And of course, our smiling master gardener is with us. Good morning, dear.
Good morning.
Good to see you as always.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, beats the alternative.
Yes, you be home. Put in a thing for the plant sale right off the bat for the master gardeners.
You should.
Too.
It's coming up.
May 15th. That's about all that I know about it, too, because not a lot of word out there yet. I know I planted herbs and they're growing well. Patty will be here next week, so we'll probably get some more details then.
Okay.
All right.
That's always a fun event. Fun event. Anyhow, 923-1450. If you happen to call and your phone line cuts off because we're having an issue with one of our lines, dial back in. We will be more than happy to take your call, but be persistent. And you're going to start a new year of secret callers?
Yeah, we kind of forgot all about it last week.
Yeah, we were so excited to be here.
At 8:59, we said, we forgot about the secret caller.
A little late then, so they start this.
It was a secret to us, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh? So anyhow, there will be secret caller.
Yeah, well, you just improved your odds by about 10% because of...
be one less.
One less in the drawing.
Yeah. So, and the drawing is for what?
Well, we've traditionally done a $100 gift card. I'll have to check with Brock and see if that's still okay. Unless he decides to change it to $250.
I'm sure he'll call in pretty quick.
I was going to say, we're going to get the first caller right off the bat. Uh-huh. What's going on?
Yeah, see, it's ringing already. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
My question is it too early to cut off the old flowers of my hydrangea? And then I have another question. Is it too early to take all the mulch off of my flower gardens? I have another question about my asparagus. Is now the time for preen and fertilizing? And I'll just hang up and listen, please.
All righty. We'll hit the off button. Thanks for calling. Hopefully all three questions.
I was going to say, she's going to make us work hard off the bat.
Do you remember the first two? I've got the asparagus.
Preen and mulch.
Mulch
and
mulch
hydrangea blossoms.
Right.
Well, the hydrangea blossoms, you could trim those off anytime now. Typically, it works if you wait just another couple of weeks, because then you could see if there's some tip dye back there. And once the new buds are there, then you can kind of tell, well, the buds are there right now, but the buds will expand and there'll be green buds there in a couple weeks. And then you'll be able to kind of see, because what happens with hydrangea is the tips always die back. Wherever there was a flower there, it'll die back to a certain point. And so if you can, you know, you could do it now, but sometimes you have to kind of backtrack a little bit and do a little more trimming in a couple of weeks I do mine right now because in 2 or 3 weeks I got less time to do it. So, you know, that's probably a long answer to a simple question there. If you aren't going to have time in a couple of weeks, for sure do it now. If you would have time in a couple of weeks, it would be a little bit easier, and then you wouldn't have to backtrack. But you certainly wouldn't hurt the plant. As far as...
She asked about mulch. Do you think she's talking about temporary mulch she just puts there to protect certain things? She wouldn't be talking about taking the mulch off the whole garden otherwise, the flower bed otherwise. That was confusing.
Yeah, and I might have a tendency to leave it in place yet for a little bit. You know, it got down to 19 degrees a couple days ago,
right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could kind of see, at least I could see on my, I don't know, there was some daffodils peeking out and some daylilies that I actually noticed it on the daylilies, you know, where there was, you know, where they were up about an inch or two. And it was, you know, now they froze back. So now that new growth is kind of brownish. So, you know, you might want to just leave it in place another week or two just to make sure we kind of get past these teens, overnight teens. You know, if it, in there again, too, it probably isn't going to kill them, but it'll slow them up a little bit. You know, and it kind of depends what y'all got going on there. But generally, I would say, you know, as long as when it's your own garden at home and you've got a little bit extra time, just wait it out.
Right.
That brings us to
asparagus. That would be the temporary things. If, you know, if she just put extra mulch like around roses and that, I would wait a while too with that. Well, maybe another 2 weeks, like you said.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I do is I kind of hill it up. I kind of rake the mulch up out of the plant bed and kind of hill it up around the roses and hydrangeas and some of these other plants. I don't bother doing it around daylilies, quite frankly. But
so if she had some other reason she was going to remove mulch, she could call back with that part of the question.
Mm-hmm.
And so the asparagus, I don't know. I would put preen on in the next couple of weeks for sure. I don't know that you need to do it right away today or anything, but
well, and it's almost like never too early to get preen down.
Yes.
Because you all of a sudden things start taking off. And, you know, then you think, I mean, there's a big difference between a week early and a week late on preen. So, you know, generally, you know, like Carol said, I don't know that you'd need to rush out and do it today before your Easter party tomorrow. But I wouldn't wait another 2 or 3 weeks. I'd get it down now, you know, anytime now.
I don't think there's anything on that label temperature-wise, you know, like there is with Roundup and stuff like that.
Yeah, it just kind of is there, and then it forms a barrier. And what, it wouldn't be a bad, you know, they've got kind of scattered showers coming into the forecast this week. So in preen, what it does is you sprinkle it around there, and then the, you know, rain kind of breaks it down, and it forms a barrier to prevent weed germination. So if you would have put it down 3, 4, or 5 days ago, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have done any good. It needs water to be activated. Okay. So once you put it down, you should, you know, if it doesn't rain within a few days, then you probably should water it in just to kind of get it activated, get it going. So this, you know, theoretically, it's kind of not a bad bad weekend to do it if you have time, because with the rains coming this week, and it, you know, it doesn't really, I don't know whatever 40% chance means, but when you have 40% 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row, they might be right one of those times.
Yeah. I think you're right. That would be good. I forgot about the part where it needs to be activated by the wet. Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're right, though. I mean, it's plenty early. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still, you know, but it's also supposed to get into the 70s, and we get a couple of these warm thunderstorms coming this week. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're a week late instead of a week early.
And then keep in mind that things that come back from the roots are still going to come back in that bed.
Right. Any perennials, which is asparagus is a perennial.
Right.
So that will still grow. So preen definitely won't hurt that. It'll just keep the dandelions and, you know, crabgrass and things like that from coming back. Quackgrass will still come back.
Yes.
You know, and with that thought too, you could spot spray with cleanup over your asparagus right now. Yet, if you're starting to see some quackgrass greening up, and again, you don't want to wait 2 weeks to do it, but you'd want to do that real quick, probably within the next few days.
I looked at mine yesterday because I put straw on both my strawberries and my asparagus because I had the straw, and I took half off, and I'll take the other half off in a couple of days or maybe today if we're going to get rain, and I could see some of the quack grass coming already.
Yeah, so you can kind of.
I thought about spraying that, but again, there with the Roundup, that's why I wondered about the preen. The Roundup does have that temperature. They like it to be above 50 or something, which we can get today too.
Mm-hmm. Although it's probably a little breezy to be spraying most herbicides on a day like today, but it, you know, you have to just get out there early, or a lot of times, like, you know, even in the evenings, it it calms down a little bit.
Right.
So anyway, there is that.
A bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well, we got all the tough ones out of the way right off the bat.
So now you guys with the easy questions, you can call in. We'll take our first break as Radiman's open.
Well, there's a tough question. No, actually, Radiman's is not open today.
Not yet.
No, we're not open on next Saturday. We will be open.
Okay.
But we just decided this Saturday with Easter, give everybody the weekend off yet. It's going to be a long summer. And so, anyway, Radiman's not open today. We will be open next Saturday. We are open till 5 o'clock Monday through Friday. So, hop on out early next week.
Alrighty, we shall be right back.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
On Tuesday, April 6th, you can make a difference. This is State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt. As a former council member, I know that city council is more important than just one issue or topic. That is why I have thrown my support behind Daniel Degner and Lawrence Foster for city council. Daniel and Lawrence have shown that they will keep us safe, grow our economy, and keep our taxes in check. I'm asking you to join me in voting for Daniel Degner and Lawrence Foster on April 6th.
Paid for by citizens. For Dan Degner and Lawrence Foster, City Council.
The shootout-winning Yamaha YZ 4-stroke motocross bikes offer revolutionary technology to help you enter the victory zone. Both the YZ450F and YZ250F feature the Yamaha-exclusive smartphone power tuner app, which lets you instantly adjust your bike's power characteristics to your style and track conditions. Visit workhardplayhard.net or Miller Implement and Pro Motorsports of Fond du Lac. Tune, race, win, and enter the victory zone aboard a Yamaha. Dress properly if you're riding with a helmet, eye protection, long sleeves, long pants, gloves, and boots. Do not drink and ride. It's illegal and dangerous.
I'm Laura Levy, and I'm running for Fond du Lac County Circuit Court Judge to keep our families safe and to improve the quality of life for all in our community. I have the experience, and perhaps more importantly, the resolve and grit necessary to make the tough decisions and to hold people accountable. I am committed to enforcing the law fairly and justly. I promise to work every day to earn your trust and confidence as I serve our county as Circuit Court Judge. Vote Laura Levy on April 6th. Paid for by Levy for Judge.
How clean is your nose? Most airborne germs and allergens invade through the nose, your body's air filter, its first line of defense. You wash your hands and brush your teeth, but what about your nose? Did you know there's an easy way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself? It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to clean your nose by flushing out pollen, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and it comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. And 50,000 independent online reviews averaging 4.7 stars show just how much people love their Navage. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now you can clean your nose and help protect your health with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath & Beyond, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Make good nasal hygiene your new normal with Navage. Clean nose, healthy life.
KFI's News Time, 8:25. Welcome back. This is Landscape Smart, brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company, 923-1450, 1-888-900-1450. Lines are open. Give a shout if you have a question. I know you mentioned last week, our first edition of the new season, that probably a good time to think about step one, huh?
Yeah, we're getting real close to that. Again, it's step one is basically, you know, preen. preen for your lawn. And so, again, you know, just like we're talking about preen earlier, you probably want to get going with step one here now this coming week or so. And when I talk about that, that's more here in the Fond du Lac area. You know, if you're further south or further south and west of Fond du Lac, you want to get on that real quick because things heat up quicker down in Madison and mm-hmm. Sun Prairie and Beaver Dam than they do as you get further north and closer to Lake Michigan. You know, so with that in mind, if you're over in Kohler and Sheboygan and Manitowoc, you got another week or so, you know, because around here there's a week difference just as you kind of venture across the state from southwest to northeast. So that's, yeah, again, preen and your step one basically work the same. They have pre-emergent quality that prevent weeds, pre-emergent qualities that prevent weeds and crabgrass from germinating. So that's why you have to get it down early.
Because after it starts germinating
too late. Once they're germinated, then it's too late. Mm-hmm. It won't.
You bought it for the season,
right? Then you're dealing with it the rest of the year. So that's why step one is, especially if you had crabgrass or weed problems last year, then you want to get that down early. And it doesn't work on dandelions. You know, the dandelions are biennial, so it's, you know, it's a kind of a perennial weed that's already there growing. So step one will not prevent dandelions. It'll prevent new dandelions for next year from germinating, but it won't, if they're already there and growing, it won't knock them out. There you're going to need step two, and that's why you wait with that for about another month before you'd put step two down, because then the dandelions are kind of green and growing. Hopefully they're not blossoming yet, but so,
okay, something to think about. I think, you know, you get these garden questions today. You know, look at the forecast for the weekend, sunshine and upper 60s. People are getting antsy.
Oh, I'm sure they are. The ground's been bare for a long time, too. That makes a difference. Mm-hmm. If we'd had snow through March, well, so you don't get so antsy.
Yeah, it's going to switch over here. Now, this week is going to be different than the last few because, you know, once we start getting these warm thunderstorms, that warms the ground temperatures up and starts things moving. So the you know, if it's heats up a little bit during the day, that only warms up the top inch, and if it's covered by grass or mulch, it doesn't help much. But when you start getting those you know, warm thunderstorms on there, that's where you can really see the see spring move, and you'll see grass, your lawn starting to green up and everything else. So
when can you transplant peonies? Can you do that in spring? Or
I think you could do it in spring or in fall.
Yeah, probably right now would be your best because
you can see them.
Yeah, they're starting to pop out already.
Yeah, and that's where if they're up about an inch, it's ideal.
And that's about where they are, really close.
But when they're up 6 or 8 inches, then you've kind of missed the window.
Okay.
So again, peonies and some of these perennials that are just starting to pop out, it's a great time to be dividing them or splitting them, moving them around, moving them a little further apart so they have a little more room to grow.
Getting them out from under the trees that have grown over them.
Mm-hmm. And they like a lot of sun, don't they?
Yeah, peonies for the most part need sun. Mm-hmm.
That'll help.
They get a little mildew.
Yes.
Yeah, they get they'll get mildew on them if it's shady. So if you put them out, if they're not, you know, underneath larger trees or on the north side, they, especially with the fungus, all the fungus issues we've had the last few years, it's and some varieties again are better than others for that. So
okay.
We had a caller last week that had asked about apple trees. And it was kind of right at the end of the show, and I couldn't really get started. So as long as we're not getting any callers right now, I'll talk a little bit about apple trees. And there, too, let's go right back to the beginning, because apple trees really benefit by a dormant oil spray, which is what you want to be doing right now, because it works best if you can spray it and you're getting temperatures below freezing overnight and up into the 40s, 50s, and 60s during the day. And the advantage of a dormant oil spray is you're spraying it on the branches, you're spraying it on the buds, you're not spraying it on the fruit. So if you're an organic, and a dormant oil is, it's, you know, it's like
some kind of mineral
it's
oil.
Like, yeah, it's like you know, olive oil, or, you know, it's a oil, so it's not really, it's like a cooking oil, you know, it's basically, I don't know if it works exactly the same. I've never tried cooking with it, but but anyway, it's about as organic as it something that you spray on something that you're planning on eating. It works with the system pretty well if you're nervous about those kind of things. So, you know, that's the best thing you can do right now, that and diatomaceous earth. But, and they're two different, they work on two different problems. But those are the two things you want to be doing right now, is applying the diatomaceous earth to the soil and then spraying dormant oil on your fruit trees. And, you know, for anybody that, the University of Minnesota, and obviously if a tree grows well in Minneapolis, it's probably going to do pretty well in Wisconsin too, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, a little bit colder there. You know, we have very similar, you know, snow pattern, humidity levels, things like that. And if you're going to do the, you know, everybody, it's like Honeycrisp is where every apple discussion always starts. And Honeycrisp is a difficult apple to grow. Well, the tree grows fine, but the apples are always a little tricky because they tend to, between the different timings on sprays and funguses and insects and things like that, the reason Honeycrisp apples are so expensive in the store is the growers tend to throw a lot of them away, or you end up using them more for juice because they don't look like a perfect apple like some apples do. And to me, if you're going to put an apple tree in, well, you pretty much always want to, if you're going to monkey with apples, you should might as well put in two or three. And so like Zestar is a good apple, Honeycrisp, and then another real good one is Snow Sweet. And there you've got kind of an early season, a mid season, and a late season apple. And Zestar will get a little apple scab to it, but other than that, it's a easy apple to grow. But the easiest apple that we've found here now the last few years is one called Snow Sweet. And that's one that seldom gets spots on it at all. I mean, they weren't even getting apple scab the last few years. And, you know, everything had apple scab the last few years because of all the wet conditions. And Snow Sweet was staying clean. And Snow Sweet's a little bit more of a later season apple. So if you want to be the first one with apples, then Snow Sweet isn't your apple. Then the Zestar would be the best, and Honeycrisp. But like I said, Honeycrisp is a little more difficult to turn into a good apple. If you're growing them yourself, or the way, you know, we have them at the nursery, I take one or two or three bites and throw it out the window as I'm driving around. It doesn't, you know, really matter, because if you have plenty of them, you can still work around the spots and things like that. So, but if you're going to do apples, those would be, you know, it gives you an early, a mid, and a late. And if you go to the University of Minnesota's website and just search for apples, there's a lot of good, they have a great breeding program up at the University of Minnesota. And so they take the best of the apples, and then they keep, and believe me, they're working on a few others too. Sweet Tango is also one that I get a lot of people asking about, and that's, it's, you know, it's a great apple. If you go visit the University of Minnesota. You'll get a, they'll give you a couple sweet tangos to take along with you, but they won't give you a tree, but they'll give you the apple. And some of these, they're kind of protecting the orchardists a little bit. They don't put them into commercial production, and that's why you'll seldom, well, you really never see Zestars or Sweet Tangos at a grocery store. You will find them at the orchards. I'm sure, I haven't been to the Little Farmer, but, you know, a place like the Little Farmer would probably have, I'm sure they don't get a, you know, don't, aren't able to get a lot of them, and they're probably just getting them started. But you might find Zestar or Sweet Tangos at a place like, mm-hmm. like the Little Farmer, for example. But you won't find them at the big, you aren't going to find them at Walmart. You're not going to find them at Pick and Save or Festival. So those are, you know, if you're going to grow apples at home, those would be the kind of where you want to start with those. So, and there's still nothing wrong. I mean, we sell a lot of Yellow Delicious and Macintosh, and, you know, but those are a lot of these, the like at the University of Minnesota, they take those varieties and then they cross them with a couple. And that's where if you go to their website and you say, well, I want a little bit easier to grow apple, but you still like a Macintosh, well, look and see what they've done, and because they use Macintosh, and so you might be getting a almost an improved Macintosh without it being called a Macintosh.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they, you know, they cross them, and you have to really go to the website. It's way more than what we can talk about. Mm-hmm. We could spend, you know, the next four shows talking about apples, So that's, you know, that's the way you want to do that. If you're thinking about planting an apple, go to the University of Minnesota's website
and look up Apples 101.
That'll be yep. If you search for University of Minnesota apples, it pops right up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be the 101 course, not the 201 course.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can grow them for a few years, and then you can call in and tell us how it all works out.
You could be the 201.
Right.
923-1450. Lines are open if you have any questions. This is a good opportunity to call. Later in the show, not so good.
Not so good. And the mineral oil, the whole object of that is to suffocate what's the bugs and that are under the bark or in the bark, right?
Yeah, there's scale insects that are like on tiny, they're so tiny they're like a pinpoint, and they're actually on the branches, on the mm-hmm. twigs. And so what you're doing there is with these oils, it's not mineral oil.
It's mineral. Well, but, no, it's... Yeah, what is it called? Dormant oil spray.
Dormant oil.
Yes, dormant
with
oil.
With this dormant oil spray, is you're suffocating them, right? And that's why if you put it on and it dries or kind of freeze dries onto the branches, then it holds up better. You know, and again, now this, you know, if it's raining this week and, you're spraying it on Monday afternoon and it's raining Monday night, it's not going to work as well as if you can get it on there for a few days before it rains. So mm-hmm.
another chore. Seeing as how we're talking about sprays, what about the antifungal sprays on the evergreens that have had the fungal issues over the past couple of years? Now or wait a while?
It's a little early now, but you know, there, and we like the last few years there's been a lot of tar spot on the Norway maple varieties, your Crimson King maples, the Princeton Golds, the Emerald Queens, Emerald Lusters, Superforms, all your Norway maples had those tar spot funguses so bad. And, you know, this, I think I would get on the bandwagon and pick some up soon, because what happened last year is they actually ran out of fungicides. There were so many people from home, working at home, working on their gardens, and we had another such wet year. I mean, we ran out of of a lot of these fungicides, and then we weren't able to get any. Well, they were backlogged or back ordered for 6 weeks or something. Well, wow. By the time you get them, it's too late mm-hmm. then. So it wouldn't hurt to pick some up now and kind of beat the crowd to it, because they're going to be popular, and I think the suppliers, the chemical companies, they've geared up better and have a little more in inventory coming into this spring. But it's hard to say, and I don't, you never really know what demand for things like that. It can move exponentially, and it's going to be you want to get those funguses attacked early this year, because a lot of these trees and plants that they got hit pretty hard the last couple of years, and they can handle it for 1 year, but when they get hit hard 3 years in a row, that's when the damage is there. Mm-hmm. So,
and probably the even if it stays a little more dry this year, the issue will still be there as a holdover from last. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of spores still around because. Right. Because they built up over the last couple of years. So even if we do get and it's kind of setting up to be a little hotter and drier, hopefully this, it's drier already. It's the driest spring we've had in a few years. Yeah. So,
but don't go today to pick it up.
Yeah, don't go today to Radiman's. Not open today. We will be open Monday again. So,
if you're single, a young couple just starting out, or an empty nester, regular size loaves of bread just may be too much of a good thing. Now, thanks to Village Hearth Half Loaves, you can have just the right amount of fresh, delicious bread for toast and your favorite sandwiches. Village Hearth Half Loaves come in 5 flavorful varieties, including Dakota Style 12 Grain, Honey Wheat, and Premium White. You're sure to find the one that's just right. Village Hearth Half Loaves, the perfect size for one or two.
Fond du Lac firefighters and police officers are doing more with less, now more than ever. As our community continues to grow and we face an ongoing public health crisis, your safety is at risk. Without adequate resources, increases in the number of calls for help equals longer response time when you need us most, when seconds count. We need more firefighters and police officers to adequately protect our community. Vote yes for the Fond du Lac Public Safety Referendum. Paid for by Citizens for a Safer Fond du Lac.
Are you thinking about seeking employment, or do you know someone who is? If you have strong communication skills and are looking for a place that will value your attention to detail, analytical abilities, organizational skills, or your ability to deliver excellent customer service, this message could benefit you. National Exchange Bank and Trust is hiring full and part-time positions. Go to the careers page of nebat.com, learn more about joining our team, and apply online. National Exchange Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer. Member FDIC.
At Irtec Heating, we are all excited for sunshine and warmer temperatures, and we want to do whatever it takes to ensure you're not caught in the heat of summer with no AC. Before the blazing temps hit, let our technicians clean and inspect your AC to ensure it's performing at its best when you need it most. Our NATE certified technicians bring the right tools, expert knowledge, and Bryant's high quality products right to your door. For AC maintenance, service, and installation in the Fond du Lac area, call 924-6742 and 239-4307 for our Ripon office.
KFI's News Time, 844-923-1450, 1-888-900-1450. Lines are open. This is Landscape Smart, brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Easy to get to. Head down 41 if that's your road of choice to be, and head east. What is it, Ron? About a quarter mile, huh?
Yeah, if that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just about a stone's throw and a half.
About the time you think you're getting up to 50 miles an hour, you're going too fast.
Yeah, you're going to miss the drive.
You're going to miss it then. Yeah.
Then you're making a U-turn and
coming back.
Coming on back. Anyhow, Monday through Friday, the hours are what?
Monday through Friday, we're open till 5, and then, we're there at like 6:30, quarter to 7, so most people don't. That's mostly for contractor.
Yeah, I'm not thinking fungicide at 6:30 in the morning.
No, so
I'm thinking Folgers.
But if you're, on your way to work or something, you could stop in and you'll get good service, at that time of day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it's actually a pretty busy time because like I said, most of Radiman's business is actually through contractors. We do a lot more business with contractors than directly to homeowners. Mm-hmm. I mean, indirectly, it ends up at homeowners.
Right.
But so at that time of day, it's busy though, because we're working with those people, and it generally works out better, because again, we don't see as many contractors showing up at 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. So.
Yeah, they're out doing the stuff with the stuff they picked up at 6:30.
Right.
Exactly.
But yeah, so anyway, anytime in through there works for us.
All righty. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. When should I start trimming the rose bushes back? And just a general, when can I start trimming the other bushes? Yeah, what other bushes? Don't ask me specifically. I don't know.
Stuff that are green in summer.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, those bushes. I have a lot of those myself.
Right. You don't want to trim anything that's going to blossom now in spring, because you'll cut the blossoms off.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right. So,
do that, so we're okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, so anything, I mean, there with your typical early season lilacs, forsythia, those type of plants, you want to just wait.
Those I don't have.
So those you want to wait a little bit until they finish. So wait until, you know, Memorial Day to do those. But other than that, like on roses, again, I would maybe just hold off just a little bit yet, because then you'll start to see some new growth coming, and then you can kind of work off of that, because a lot of roses die back to a certain point, and then you can trim the dead off, and you can kind of, some of it you can see already. If you look there, the branches have kind of turned black. And so obviously that could get cleaned out. Otherwise, once you can see new buds coming, that works out pretty good to trim them at that point in time, because then you know exactly what you're working with. And as far as your other, you know, weigelias and spireas and things like that, those you could trim now. Hydrangeas, again, we kind of talked about that a little earlier, but there, again, it's kind of always easier if you can start to see some new growth, because you're going to get some tip die back, whether it's the PG varieties or some of the vegetative varieties, you're still going to get some tip die back on those. So once you can see those buds greening up, then you kind of know what you've got to work with there.
And if the bush is just too big all the way around, then you want to do some trimming at the base too, and take some of those branches out. Usually you can tell by looking at the bark on them, on those branches, which ones the older ones are. Well, they'll be bigger around probably too, and it never really hurts to take like a third of them right out at the ground. And if it's because it has gotten too big, you can take like a third out one year, a third the next year, which makes it look a little goofy for a while, because you've got a taller third in there. And then the third the last year, and you can bring the whole height of the bush or shrub down too. But I'm not talking
Well, and if you're taking out those largest stems like that, you're automatically reducing it, because typically the largest, thickest, oldest ones are the tallest.
Ones, yes.
So, you know, you can reduce the top, and kind of keeping in mind, you know, shrubs grow where you cut. So if you cut the tops off, you don't necessarily make them shorter, because that's where they're going to try to grow from then.
Right.
So take them out down at the bottom, at the base, and then make them start over. And that way you can. So, you know, and I like trimming, like I have some barberries in my yard. I like thinning those out and getting out some of that, because they're kind of a gnarly, you know, they can be a little gnarly.
Yes.
And even the spireas work out good if you thin out those a little bit from the ground and make them start over. Some people just cut them right off at the ground. I don't like to do that each year, because then they kind of open up in the center and get a little, you know, they almost look like a donut then. Mm-hmm. So if you just thin it out a little bit from the base and then shear those dead flower tips off, that works the best on those. A lot of new weigelias that are a lot of fun, you know, that are staying dwarf, and you get those different colors, different flowers. And there, I don't know, I'll have to get do my research over the week, and I can talk about Wigelias next Saturday.
I think
Saturday.
They're cool just because you never know what direction they're going to grow in. They're certainly not your standard straight up, no change of anything. That's why I like them, just because they do.
Well, and there's so many, they've got nice, you know, good, clean purple foliage, so that's kind of interesting all summer long, even when they're not flowering.
Right.
And then if you get those pink, you know, the pink flowers or the red flowers contrasting, so there's several new good varieties of dwarf Wigelia, and you kind of want to work with the dwarf ones that'll that'll, you know, kind of stay in that 2 to 3 foot tall, 3 to 4 foot wide type. The taller ones generally, you know, they can get a little leggy, but these finer textured newer varieties, and there's several good new varieties. So like I said, I'll have to get back on board with some of those and
talk about them.
Talk about them next week. So
now you know what you can and can't do.
So wait with the rose bushes, and if I'm going to trim anything, trim it from the bottom, not the top.
You can do the top as well.
Will start regrowing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Carol kind of, it's that renewal pruning. You trim out those biggest stems from the bottom, and then just kind of touch up the middle and the top too. Sometimes you take them out, and right now they're going to look a little. A little forlorn, you know, a little unbalanced, a little, you know, so once you trim out those biggest stems, then kind of trim a little bit out of the middle and the top too to rebalance them. Mm-hmm. And then when they flush out and start growing, they'll fill right back in real quickly.
Okay.
And that works for, you know, dogwoods, viburnums, chokeberries, you know, anything that like that elderberries, you know, any of those plants that kind of work best with rejuvenating from the base.
Mm-hmm. Because they keep coming.
All righty, thanks for the call.
And that's all, you know, I mean, we didn't talk about the evergreens. There you could, I mean, it's, generally I like to trim evergreens more in the summer than right now, but you could touch those up a little bit too right now. So.
All righty, let's take our final break here, a quickie.
Better get our break in before we're
on show, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, Radiman's not open today. We'll be open next Saturday or Monday through Friday till 5 o'clock. Radiman's is just 3 miles south of Fond du Lac. If you're coming from Fond du Lac, you can just take 41 or Highway 175 Main Street to County B, and we're just east of 41.
A reputation for being the best, the toughest zero-turn mower ever made doesn't come easy. It's earned by outworking, outperforming, and outdoing with horsepower, handling, and versatility. Introducing Bobcat zero-turn mowers. Bring tough to turf. Buy a new Bobcat mower. Get 0% APR for up to 48 months and rebates up to $500. Miller Implement and Pro Motorsports of Fond du Lac. Online at workhardplayhard.net. Being a city council member is more important than one issue or topic.
This is Councilman Daniel Degner. I'm running for re-election to help keep our community safe.
This is Lawrence Foster. As a member of the city council, I will help grow our local economy.
On April 6th, vote to make a difference and elect Daniel Degner and Lawrence Foster to the Fond du Lac City Council. They will lead Fond du Lac in a positive direction. Paid for by Citizens for Dan Degner and Lawrence Foster for City Council.
And we are back, the final couple minutes of this week's edition of Landscape Smart, and we have a caller. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Okay, I have another question. Is it too early to prune my grapes? And what kind of fertilizer do they like? And I love your program, but I will hang up, please, and I'll listen.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a question for her?
Yeah, I've got a question for her. She's actually our secret caller, so if she's on, she can hang on yet for a minute.
There?
And we'll still answer.
Am I?
Okay, I'll put you on hold. I'll talk to you off air.
Is it me?
It's you. Hang tight. Okay. You can answer her question. I'll talk to her off air.
Okay.
Well, with grapes there too, I think it might be just a little early to do the trimming again. If you see, because they and there's different varieties of grapes and all these things too, but you could be cleaning those up, trimming them, or you could wait a couple weeks until you can see some buds greening up. But a lot of times if they're a little gnarly, you want to get in there and get them thinned out. Now wouldn't be a bad time for that. As far as fertilizer goes, actually, Wiedemann's, we have the NutriPack fertilizer packets, and I love using those on grapes because it's a good time-release fertilizer that lasts for 4 or 5 years. So you just dig a slit and drop it in right where the root, you know, two or three or four of them around the base of the root, and then they time release over the next 4 or 5 years. And so you get, and there's one that's a triple 16, so it's, you know, it's good for new growth, it's good for fruit production all the way around. Those are actually the easiest ones to use because they're a little more work initially, but then you've got it pretty much taken care of for a few years. You could use some of the, you know, the water soluble, but again, then you're pushing them during the season, so you get a lot of green, a lot of leaves, and it's not really helping your fruit production much. But that's another pretty easy one to use is, like Miracle-Gro, you know, that there you're mixing it up in a 5-gallon bucket and pouring it around the root system. And you could use that in it together with the NutriPack packets also. But, you know, you get your best bang for your buck out of those NutriPack packets because they go a long way and they last for 5 years. So,
what in this day and age lasts 5 years?
Well, that's just it, you know.
Realistically.
Mm-hmm. And what we actually do with the NutriPacks is we install them like every other year. We don't do it every 5 years. We kind of keep them on a steady feeding program. And the ones that are there are good for another couple of years. And then we get some new ones down and we kind of just... So, you know, that's the way we actually install them, or the way I do it in my yard is I just put them in every other year. I don't actually wait 5 years.
All right, let's see if we can sneak a quick question in. We got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Good morning. I have a hummingbird bush that I put in last year, brand new. I'm wondering if that needs to be trimmed back or just leave it as it is.
A hummingbird bush. I wonder if it's a hibiscus. Or like Rose of Sharon, I think that's, and those typically do die back, and they grow. You get growth on your, you get flowers on your new growth with Rose of Sharon, or and these hibiscus varieties, hardy hibiscus here. So those you'd want to trim back, and you know thin them out a little bit from the base. I always make a few cuts in the middle, too, and there you might get some tip dieback. They're not completely hardy around here, so this year we had a lot of good snow cover, so you shouldn't have froze out, but that would be the best way to do those. So.
And we thank you for the call, and we are done.
Looks like the music's playing.
It is.
So, all right, well, Wiedemann's, again, not open today. We will be open on bright and early Monday morning. And, of course, next week, Monday through Saturday. So we will be open next Saturday. So,
alrighty, thanks for joining us today on this week's edition of Landscape Smart. Back again next Saturday, 8 until 9, on News Talk 1450 KFIZ in Fond du Lac. KFIZ News Time, 9 o'clock. It's Jerry Schneider time.